Man, God is good. I mean, and He does. He's faithful every time. Every time He is faithful. We're kicking off a sermon series for the month of June on family. And Pastor Steve's going to be preaching some powerful messages on parenting, on marriage. And I'm just going to kind of kick it off. And I told Pastor Steve, I'll tell you everything I know about parenting and family and marriage. And that's one thing. It's all one thing. You better put your trust in Jesus. You better put your trust in Jesus. I've got good news for you. According to the scriptures, you and I were made in the image of God. How many of you believe that? We've been made. We are image bearers. I shared with the other services, I worked for a guy that owned a furniture company. And he had this incredible showroom. The furniture there was unbelievable. And so I was kind of excited to work with him for a little while. And my first day, he sends me into the warehouse. It's about half the size of this room, just full of broken furniture. I mean, just broken. I mean, I thought it should just go out to the dumpster or something. And he gave me a dust rag. He says, I want you to dust all this off. So I did that. And then I got thinking, well, that's probably what he has everybody do on the first day. So the second day, I come back, same thing. Wants me to dust all that off. Come back the third day. And I said, man, is there anything else to do? And he said, well, what's the problem? I said, well, man, all this furniture, I mean, it's useless. It's broken. And he said, well, what do you think of the showroom? I said, I love the showroom. I said, that, you know, that's where I'd like to be. He goes, well, here's what you don't understand. All that broken furniture you see, he goes, I bought it, and I already know what it's going to look like in the showroom. Well, I still didn't get really what he was trying to tell me, except that somehow the job I was doing was worthwhile and all that stuff. But the deal was, this guy would go to places and he'd see a table with no legs. Now, I've got a couple of those in my house, but it wasn't by design. That's just having a bunch of kids that happens sometimes. This guy would buy stuff like that. And in his mind, he would see what it was going to be when he was done with it. And that meant nothing to me those many years ago, but God brought that back to my life. Because there's been times when I've said, God, I'm the guy in the warehouse. I'm broken. I'm not usable. But God, He already sees what I'm going to be. But no, wait, it gets better than that. Because a lot of you this morning, you feel like you're in the warehouse. Yeah, maybe somebody broke one of your legs, but you broke two of them yourself. And you're in the warehouse, and there you are, and you're not sure God can ever do anything again. But I got good news for you. God already sees what you're going to be. God already sees that. And that is good news for you and for me. So I thought what we would do is we kick off this series on family. We would look at the first family. I think that's a great place to look and to see what a failure the first family was. Because that I'm more encouraged by failures than I am by successes. Anybody else? Always like, man, look at that guy. He is messing it all up. And I like that guy because I'm thinking I'm a notch above him. Right? Because he's really messing up. It's like when I go to the gym, I don't get on a treadmill next to a skinny person. I want to get on a treadmill, you know, around a couple of people that have been blessed like me, more than me. You know what I'm saying? So I like people, I like to see those failures because I'm like, hey, I'm not so bad. Now here's the deal. This is the first family. Listen to what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. God created. Now listen, everybody look up here. I want to tell you something. You've been created by God. God created you. God did that. The last Wednesday, we were talking about this. I said, I don't care how you got here. God created you. Because I told my sister for years we found her in a lettuce patch. And I just had her convinced of that. First of all, I don't even know if there is such thing as a lettuce. There's a cabbage patch, right? But anyway, I told her she was in a lettuce patch. I don't even know what we were doing in the lettuce patch, but I had her convinced that's how she got here. Because as an older brother, I wanted to convince her I was somehow superior to her. See, we found you in the lettuce patch. All of you. all of you, some of the older boys are taking notes right now. That's good. Let's patch. All of you were created by God. And I don't care the situation, the circumstances that surround that. God created you. And if God created you, which He did, He created you with a purpose and a plan. Now, everybody always says kids don't come with manuals, but they do come with manuals. It's this right here. God's Word. And it tells us, and it gives us wisdom. It gives us encouragement. It gives us strength so that we can know, okay, here's what I got to do. And you know what this tells us about those children? You better put them in the hands of God. You better put them in the hands of God, because God created them. And if God created them, and He did, He is going to take care of them. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. Because I don't know about you, family is difficult. Amen. Marriage is difficult. Amen. I always get much fewer amens on that one than the rest. Some of you are just being wise, though. You're trying to have a good marriage, so you're not going to say amen. And families, just, it can be hard. I told them at 9:30, I remember last time my family, all of us got together. It was at the Jerry Springer Show. And while we were there, you know, it was just kind of crazy. We caught up in all that. Family's hard. Family is hard. You know, contrary to what Pastor Steve says, I don't have 12 kids, but I do have four. And if you got four kids, that's a lot of kids. That's a lot of kids. When I'm sitting in a recliner and they all have two friends over and I don't know for an hour, you have a lot of kids. And I ask the question, it's like, slow down. Who are you? When you got four kids, when you have one kid, this is applicable. What are the chances one of those kids is going to step out? What are the chances one of my four kids is going to kind of step out there and not follow God for a while? What are the chances of that? Well, I'd say there's a pretty good chance, because I'll tell you this, that's what I did. Anybody else do that? Well, if you raise your hand, will you move to the back? No, I'm kidding. The Bible says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all turned and gone our own way. That means we've all said, God, you know what? I know what you've said, but I've got a good idea, and here's what I'm going to do. What do you do when that happens, when that's one of your kids? There's nothing you can do except to place that child's life in the hands of God. And to say, God, here is this kid. I mean, some of you are praying for a kid right now who's 40 years old, praying that God would get a hold of their heart and their lives. Let me tell you, not only is that the only thing you can do, that's the greatest thing that you can do, is to trust them with Jesus. Okay? And you may not like the means that Jesus will use to bring them back to Him. And that's why this is called trust, and it's why it's called faith. Because we've got to trust. You were made in the image of God. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Listen to what He said, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now, I want to tell you something. When He says to them, be fruitful and increase in number, this isn't just a numbers thing. This isn't just because God wants there to be a bunch of people. This is directly related to worship. You see, the assumption is that if mom and dad are going to follow Jesus, guess what? Those children are probably going to follow Jesus. Now listen, in God's time, all right? In God's time, that's going to happen. We have the parental promise in the Bible. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they'll return to it. I don't like that. How about God? They'll never stray. But that's not what it says. It says that because of who we are. We were made in the image of God, but we learn in the rest of the Adam and Eve story that that image was shattered. It was shattered. You see, when God created Adam and Eve, they were created right in relationship with God. And so the Bible says that Adam would walk in the cool of the evening with God. And they shared that relationship. It was already there. But when Adam and Eve rebelled, when they disobeyed God, it shattered the image that God had created in them. And therefore, it has shattered the image for you and for me. And the difference now is we're not born into a relationship with Jesus. Did everybody hear that? We're not born into a relationship with Jesus. And that's why every week at this church you hear about the cross and the resurrection. Because now the only way you'll have a relationship with Jesus is to acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior of your life, to invite Him to come into your life, to ask Him to forgive you of your sin. And the Bible says He's faithful and just, and He will do that. I want to give a challenge to every parent that's here. The greatest thing that you will give your children is for you to walk as close to Jesus as you can. Walk as close to Jesus as you can. That's the greatest thing you can give your kids. Because guess what? There's going to be a day when they have a tragedy and a crisis and you're not going to be there. And if all you've taught them is that you'll take care of them, well then who's going to take care of them when you're gone? Pastor Steve, I've heard him say it a lot. It offends a lot of people. I know that surprises you that Pastor Steve would offend people. Pastor Steve has said this, and I think he's dead on when he says, one of the worst things that's happened in our culture in America, the crisis that's really in the family, is that people, all their focus is on their family. See, and God gave us a commandment, and that was to have no other gods before me. And anything that you put above God is a god in your life. And if you put your family above God, and I know, this is kind of a tough thing. It's like you can't focus on your family and be the parent God wants you to be. Your focus has to be on Jesus. He's going to carry you. He's going to carry them. And when you're not around and you've taught them to walk with Jesus, guess what? They're going to know how to walk with Jesus when those moments come. I gave Pastor Steve a book. We love to swap books. And I gave him a book called One Nation Under Therapy. And it's a pretty great book. And it talks a lot about this crisis that's in our homes in America, and how people are, and how people are with their kids. And, it's like you meet people. I remember one time my kid got in a fight in the nursery, and so I'm trying to work all that out. And I totally believe that my kid could have just went up and smacked the snot out of another kid. I believe my kid could do that. I've seen my kid do that. And he gets smacked right back multiple times by his father, when that kind of stuff happens. But I remember this lady, and we were trying to get the story down. This lady said, well, there's no way my kid did it. And I thought she was joking. And I jokingly said, yeah, because your kid never does anything wrong. And she said, no, he doesn't. And I realized she was serious. And I just thought, the whippings that kid will be deprived of, that every good kid, every good person needs in their life, I don't think you can be a good person until you've been shook so hard spit comes out of your mouth and hits you in the back of your head, And I remember in that moment, and seeing that, and seeing people worship their kids, and thinking their kids could never do anything wrong. And me and my wife talk about, how are we going to battle this? I mean, how are we going to do this? Because I remember growing up, man, I was blessed if I got a pair of shoes that cost more than $20. Because my mom and dad, they didn't buy shoes like that. You didn't need them. My dad said, all you're paying is $50 for that thing. I was like, but I love that thing. Remember one time my dad cutting one out on paper and said, here, put that on your shoe. Yeah, how are we going to do this? Well, here's how you're going to do it. You got to focus on Jesus. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks. That's kind of the deal with religion. You see, religion is about making you look good, not God. Religion is about, I'm going to follow all these things, and that means I'm a great person. That's what religion is about. I said, religion reminds me of all these people carrying around the cups of their lives. And all they do all day long is polish the outside of that cup. So that people will say, wow, now that's a cup. Man, wow, look at that cup. And it's like, especially sometimes at church. I mean, I don't know about you, I get intimidated easily. I got a friend that's a pastor, but he's like a pastor. He's not like me. Pastor Jeff Reynolds and I were talking about what we would do if we weren't in the ministry. I was like, man, I don't even know what I'd do. And Pastor Jeff said, you ever doubt you're supposed to be in the ministry? I was like, yeah, probably not as much as everybody else doubts that I'm supposed to be in the ministry. But yeah, but I called my buddy up, who's a pastor, and he's like, Brother Jamie, how are you? I'm blessed. And You know, I've never called anybody brother, you know, like that. The church I grew up in, they would call all the men the brethren. So now the brethren are going to have a breakfast on Saturday morning. We'd like everybody to be. And I never understood why they would call the men the brethren, but they wouldn't call the women the cisterns. But you'll get it later. Okay, yeah, we'll just keep on going. But it was like everybody had their cup and they're just polishing it because they want it to look good. They don't care what it looks like to God. They just want everybody else to think, wow, what a great cup. Even for a lot of us, our homes, our parenting, our marriages come down to that. How many of you talk different to your wives here than you do at home, men? I mean, like if I'm at the donut bar with, is it a donut bar? I guess it's a coffee bar. Hey, as far as I'm concerned, that's a donut bar. So anyway, I'm at the donut bar with my wife and I'll be like, sweetie, would you like a donut? You know, because I don't talk like that at home. You know, and then she's like, so impressed that I care if she has it. She's like, well, yeah. And then I realize I just bought the last three and ate them. So, but you do that a little different when you're here. Maybe you talk to your kids different when you're here. You know, oh, honey, stop running, little honey. You know, we're at home, it's like, I'm going to kill you if you don't stop, you know. But we're at church, you know, we're in public. And what are we doing? We're polishing that cup. We're just polishing that cup so it looks good. And I want to tell you, I've been in church a long time, and I've seen a lot of phenomenal, phenomenal cups. But I'm going to tell you something about those cups. You wouldn't want to drink out of them. See, God's not concerned about the outside of the cup. It's the inside of the cup. And here's good news. Only God can clean the inside of the cup. Remember when the prophet went to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king? Remember that first guy came through the door and, you know, he looked like Dolph Lundgren. Anybody remember him from the 80s? But anyway, you know, great big guy, muscles and all that. And the prophet was just like, wow. And then God spoke this word to the prophet. God said, don't look at the outward appearance. That's what man looks at. He said, but God looks at the heart. God looks at the inside. That's what God is concerned about. But there's still a lot of us. We got our cups out and we're trying to get them polished. But somehow we need to come to a place where we're more concerned with what God thinks than what everybody else thinks. Why? Because we're image bearers. We were created in the image of God. And even though that image has been shattered, the good news of the gospel is God has restored that. Through the cross and the resurrection, Jesus has come so that you and I can once again have relationship with God. And so Jesus went in your place. He went in my place. He took that death on the cross that was meant for us. Because why do people die and go to hell? Does anybody know? Why do people die and go to hell? Because we are sinners. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that the wages of that sin is death. That's what we deserve. But Jesus went in our place and took upon himself our sin so that you and I could be forgiven and that we could walk with God. And I want to tell you, contrary to popular belief, Jesus is the only way. Amen. He's the only way. He's the only hope that you have is a relationship with him. But I got good news for you. He will come to your rescue. Amen? He will come to your rescue. And so we've been made in the image of God. And you know the rest of this story. I mean, you know what happens. The serpent comes. They're in the garden. They've got everything. Everything at their fingertips. They don't even have to work for the food. It's just there. There was fried chicken trees, right? I imagine there had to be, you know. I mean, there's all this stuff, you know. Little Debbie had her own section that just grew right out of the ground. There's all this. And God said, but there's one tree, this tree here, I do not want you to eat from. Do not eat from that tree. And Adam and Eve, just like me and you, if somebody tells me not to do something, I do it. I do it. I remember one Christmas, my grandmother got me a comb. Great gift. Little comb. And the deal, what made it special, is that it was unbreakable. Well, the unbreakable on the comb was just like the swoop on the shoe because the comb did break. And I remember just going in the next room. I was about 8 years old, and I was like, snap! And I'm almost having a heart attack because I didn't think it would break because it was unbreakable. And I just was scared to death that next hour at my grandma's house. She was like, well, let me see you comb your hair. I mean, she had never done that before, but, you know, she never gave me an unbreakable comb before. And I just thought I'd be like, huh. Because when somebody tells me not to do something, it makes me curious about it. And it makes me think, I bet it's not unbreakable. And the serpent said, do you know why God doesn't want you to eat from that tree? Because if you eat from that tree, you'll be just like God. And that was the moment that Adam and Eve began this journey of valuing themselves more than they valued God. Loving themselves more than they loved God. And they eat from the tree. And they had it all, you guys. I mean, a lot of young couples, one of their favorite verses in the Bible is they were naked and not ashamed. That's happened in all three services where I thought that was going to be a really exciting thing. Like, they're naked and not ashamed. Everybody's like, chirp, chirp. And here's the thing. Like, if you're a young couple, I know you like that. I like it. And I know that you like it. And older couples tell me they like it. And I tell them I don't want to hear that. But, you know, that was the deal. You know, my mom and dad will tell me stuff like that. I'm like, please. The line was here. You way crossed us way too much. They had everything. And then the image is shattered. It's shattered. And I told him in the last service, I better say it here too. I told him in the last service, it was for married people that they were naked and not ashamed. So for our teenagers here, it was married people who were naked and not ashamed. Everybody with me on that? Well, y'all got more excited about that than just not being naked and not ashamed. So anyway, that's all right. That's okay. They had it all, but the image is shattered. The image is shattered. And none of that is theirs anymore. And you guys know what happens. God casts them from the garden. God makes them leave. And I'm thinking that they're getting off easy, aren't they? Because I'm thinking, if I'm God, they just spit in the face of God. They just openly rebelled against God. They said, God, we know better than you what the deal is. Has anybody ever done that? We've done that. But I want you to hear this. And this is really the message right here. And I pray that this would minister to you as it has to me. Because when I really look at Adam and Eve, I don't see anybody different from myself. To say that they openly rebelled in the face of God, so have I. I have done that. I want you to listen. So God cast them from the garden. And then the last thing he does, in chapter 3, verse 21 of Genesis, it says this. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And that was just a new reality because now they were naked and they were ashamed. And nakedness in the garden brought about something else. It was cold. It was just those realities. But God, the last part of them being cast from the garden was an act of grace. And he made garments of skin for them. God did that. In the face of their rebellion. Right? In the moments of them walking away from everything God had said. The last thing God did was he clothed them. You know why? Because he is going to take care of you. And so all I can do with those four kids, all I can do is put them in the hands of Jesus and trust that he's going to do a work in their lives. And granted, I need to be obedient. I need to listen to Jesus. But the most powerful thing I do is to place them in his hands. Because here's what I have to know. And here's what you have to know. They are better off in his hands than they are mine. And I'm married. And marriage is crazy sometimes. They've asked me to lead the marriage retreat coming up in October. And the last time I led a marriage retreat, right before I went to go, our child care fell through. My wife couldn't go, so I went to the marriage retreat by myself. Which, I slept through the night, didn't have kids, or you know. And so they told me this time that I can't go unless my wife goes. But that's a stipulation. And I just told him, I said, listen. I told the marriage ministry, just listen. I've got a lot more to say about marriage if she's not there. Because if she's there, that's entirely too much accountability for me to say all these great things about marriage. And my wife say, wow, that sounds great. Why don't we do that? You see what I'm saying? So marriage, it can be tough. And all the greatest thing I can do for my marriage is to place it in the hands of God. Because it's better off in His hands than it is mine. But let me tell you about marriage. There's two people. So I can put that marriage in the hands of God, but she's got to do that. And guess what? That other person may not do that. And they may walk away. And they may be done. But if you have put that marriage in the hands of God, God is going to get you through whatever comes. Some of you already know that. Some of you have already experienced that, and God has gotten you through. You can trust Him. Some of you had horrible marriages that once you both placed that marriage in God's hands, God's totally turned that marriage around. Only God can do that. Did everybody hear that? Let me save you a ton of work. Only God can turn that marriage around. You can't do it. Only God can. So you've got to put that marriage in His hands. And the last act of God in that whole casting story was that He clothed them. We used to sing a song in this little church I grew up in. And we'd sing it at the altar time. And the song was called Softly and Tenderly. Anybody ever hear that song? Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. Man, it was a powerful song. And when I hear the song, I see the faces of the people that we prayed for coming to that altar. Because some of you right now, man, you're still praying for that kid. And you're praying that God will get a hold of his or her life. And I've got good news for you. Softly and tenderly, He's calling to them. He's calling to them. And you pray and you keep trusting God, and He may use a different means than you wanted Him to, but God is going to get a hold of that kid's heart. You keep praying. You don't give up because you're not trusting that kid. You're trusting God. Some of you, you're praying for a spouse because maybe they bolted. Maybe they're out of there and you're just praying. That's all you can do is to pray. And you just keep praying. You just keep praying. You keep trusting God in what they're going to do. God can turn that around. And remember, if that person won't be obedient, God is going to get you through that. Did you hear that? Because every time I've been in need of a rescue, God has come and rescued me. Every time. Every time. And it all hasn't went the way that I had hoped and the way that I've wanted. It hasn't all gone that way. But you know what? I've got through every moment because of Him. Because you can trust Him. I know the road is long. And I know that the journey is hard. But way more important than that, I know that God is good. And God is faithful. He is faithful. And so for all of you who feel like you're in the warehouse, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful. And you are not unusable. Because when I talk about going from the warehouse to the showroom, I'm not talking about a showroom that has objects just to be seen. I'm talking about a showroom that has objects to be used. And because you were created in the image of God, God wants to use you. He has a plan for you. And I plead with you this morning to trust Him. I plead with you this morning to place your life, your marriage, your children, whatever it is, to place it in His hands, because it's better off in His hands than it is yours. And that's what trust really means. I'm going to trust you, God. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, the most important thing you can do is to allow Jesus to place your life in His hands. And the song, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, "Oh sinner, come home." Because that's what all of us are. Amen. Raise your hand if you're a sinner. In case you're a guest, I just want you to look around. This is a church full of sinners who've been saved by grace. Jesus saved us. In spite of us, Jesus saved us. And so softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling for you and for me. I want you to know that He loves you. And we look at the first family, and yeah, they were a failure, but everyone that's followed has been failures too. Here's what we learn from the first family, though. God is a God of grace. And the only hope you have is in Him. And He's faithful. And even in the midst of their rebellion, He clothed them. You know what that means? In the midst of their rebellion, He gave them what they needed. God did that. And He will do that for you. But you've got to trust Him. Give your life to Jesus. I pray that He would save you this morning if you've not been saved. That you would allow Him to place your life into His hands. Some of you, it's just now just a matter of just obedience and just follow Him and trusting Him. I want to invite you to come to the altar this morning and to really place those things in the hands of God. Just to place those things in the hands of God, because whatever's coming down the road, God already knows what's coming. So trust Him. Father, we love You. And Lord, I thank You for who You are. And God, I thank You that You are trustworthy. And I thank You that when I'm in the warehouse and feel unworthy and unusable, Lord, that Your grace reaches in, Father, and You heal those places. You mend those places. You repair those places. And You make us who are not usable, usable for You. Lord, I pray for marriages all over this room. I pray that You would bless them. And I know some of them are struggling, God. And I pray those couples would just place those marriages in Your hands. Lord, I pray for children represented all through this congregation, Father, that are struggling, that are wayward. And I pray You capture their hearts, Lord. And You turn their hearts back towards You. And God, until it happens, we'll believe You to do it. Help us to trust You. Give us strength. Give us wisdom. We love You, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. This altar is open. Let's come. You pray. Let's stand together. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.